voice of Jenny Benneman, who will be in here at 10 o'clock with her husband Robin to talk music. Now, it is my distinct pleasure to welcome Patrick Cannon and James Caulfield. Patrick's a writer, James is a photographer, and their book, their latest collaborative effort, The Space Within, Inside Great Chicago Buildings, is one of the most beautiful, stunning, and in its way exciting books that has come across my desk in years. Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here.
Is that too complimentary? Or
it's getting close to being complimentary enough.
You want me to lay it on a little thicker? It is. You two, before we get into this book, you two have collaborated. This is your fifth collaborative effort, right?
Number five.
Patrick, where are you from? How did you seed your affection for architecture?
Well, it's interesting. I was born in the Pittsburgh area, but came here finally at 18 for the second time to go to school. And at Northwestern, there was a great guy named Carl Condit.
You write, much of this is in the introduction, ladies
and gentlemen. It's absolutely true.
Charming guy.
I think what I was doing, I was a walker. I used to walk around the city, and I saw the course, and I said, why not?
I mean,
it's better than taking chemistry, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's slightly easier.
And anyway, so I did. I went to the course, and Carl was a great guy. He was very funny. He's passed away a few years ago. But two of the things he did was he did a walking tour of the Loop. This is before the Architecture Foundation had their regular tours. And then a bus tour, and we went over the city and saw Robey House and went to Oak Park and all these things. And so I got excited about architecture.
Well,
and then when I moved to Oak Park, it was just
got
when
even
they were
further
taking
excited.
Over the home and studio, and I was one of the first volunteers there. So I've been doing tours for 40-some years.
When did you start to write about?
Well, I've been a writer all my life.
I know that.
I was a publicist and editor. And, but
about
architecture, I pitched the idea of doing a book on Frank Lloyd Wright's work in Oak Park and River Forest, which is the largest concentration
of
his buildings in the
world.
And to the Frank Lloyd, what is now the Frank Lloyd Wright Trust. And I said, you know, get me a photographer. We can get this thing done. And lo and behold, the photographer was Jim Caulfield.
That's how this match was made?
They were the matchmakers. After we finished that book, I said, are you game for more? And he said, sure, let's give it a whirl. And I pitched another idea to the publisher. They bought it. And, you know, the rest, as they say, is a lot of work and some history.
Well, you guys seem to get along. James, what's your background? He's patting him on the back. What's your background?
Other than photography?
A little closer. Yes. I mean, when did you start taking pictures? And when did you decide to make it a career?
I'd say it's professionally 38 years now, but
what started it?
Oh, just trying to decide how to get out of the business I was in. I was a consultant in computer system design methodologies.
Oh my God, does that sound boring? No offense to anybody who does that out there.
It wasn't thrilling me, and I was looking for something. And I was looking for something that was creative.
And you did a lot of, you did some fashion photography and all manner of commercial work,
That's
right?
That's what I settled on.
Yeah.
I thought I'd have most control.
Yeah. And when you were approached to collaborate on a book about Frank Lloyd Wright, what did you know about Frank Lloyd Wright?
Not a lot. My father was a fan.
Yeah.
I'd heard him talk about him. But I would have to say my knowledge of Wright was primarily his personal life.
Where are you from?
St. Louis, originally.
Are you? So you start working with this gentleman, and he's starting to enlighten you because he is a historian on this. When you started to see Wright's houses, it must have been stunning to you.
It's true. It's not that I hadn't seen any of his houses. I'll admit to having been a fan.
Sure.
And I toured several buildings. Well, what I could get to, I did. Taliesin, actually both Taliesins.
So the seed of this book, you've done four books, and then you decide. You have a great quote from Mr. Wright in here, the space within becomes the reality of the building. What does that mean? What do you think he means by that? I have a sense, and I think there could be a number of different kinds of interpretations, don't you think?
Yeah, I think there are. And I think in Wright's case, you know, he was a great proponent of what he called organic architecture. And I think what he meant by that is that you begin with the idea of the building. What is the building for? What is the site of the building? How can you maximize the site and its beauty? And all those things entered into it. But it was what you started out was space. Space was Wright's thing. The way the building looked on the outside really has much to do with the way the building looks on the inside.
Yeah, I agree.
And, for example, little things, little details that people don't notice. The Robie, if you go to the Robie House, you'll see that the shape of the building has three prows. And if you look at the glass has prow shapes.
Mm.
So everything he did, he decides on a motif, if you will, and then the building grows out of that idea.
Mm.
And that's really what he meant by that. And I think any good architect works the same way. They may not express it as Wright expressed it.
Sure.
But that's the way they should work if they don't.
How difficult is it to shoot? I mean, your photographs in this book are beyond stunning, and I know a modest amount about photography. And we talked downstairs when you were walking in. It's like, well, everybody's a photographer now. Yeah, everybody with an iPhone's a photographer. But there are various things, the lighting, what difficulties are there in doing architecture? What do you try to do?
I try to show the architecture the way the architect meant it to be seen.
Yeah.
The light that comes through the windows, the lay lights, the skylights, the doors, that's what I use. I don't, or if there's any fixtures built into the building, as designed by the architect. But I try not to impose my lighting on it, so it's all done with the ambient light. And that has a lot of different problems associated with it.
Sure.
In terms of the technicals of photography and how fast or not the cameras are.
Well, and also, in the case of this, and we'll get deeper into it after a little commercial break, getting access, too, is, if you can't shoot, if you can't get in, you know what I mean? And some of these, there's some private homes in here. When you two decided to do this book, The Space Within, Inside Great Chicago Buildings, what was the process? And you would just say, hey, I think we should do this, and I think we should do that. Did you have a list? There are 45, if I counted correctly.
There are 45.
Buildings in here. Did you have 150?
We probably had 100 plus on the list. And we actually shot, and I won't mention the ones that didn't make the grade.
Yeah, because they're not good enough.
Because some of them were good enough.
I'm sure.
For other reasons, we decided that's the space we had. We actually shot close to 70 buildings.
Wow.
And could have shot another 70.
What is, before we take a break, and I am sitting here with Pat Cannon, the writer and photographer, Jim Caulfield, I want you both to define for me, what is a great building, Pat? How do you find the word great in terms of a building?
I think a building is great to me.
No, that's all I care about.
If it works as a building, in other words, the purpose of the building is the most important thing. So if it's the Elks Memorial, it's a memorial.
Right.
It's not supposed to be.
Or if it's a church, it's a church.
It has to be a church. It
yeah.
has to work as a church. Whereas a private home has to work as a private home. So the building has to work for me. And you can walk into a building, and I think you can tell pretty much if it works or not.
What do you think when you walked in the Tribune Tower, both of you?
Now, what did I say, Pat?
What did you say? What?
He said, well, you know, this is one we could consider.
Volume 2.
James, before we take the commercial, what's your definition of? That's a pretty good definition of a great building. For
hey,
you.
If Pat says it's great, it's great.
Oh, okay. That makes life so. These are collaborators, ladies and gentlemen.
As a photographer, right. You have to fall in love with your subject.
Yeah. You're right. I'm spending the next half hour with Pat Cannon and Jim Caulfield. We're talking about their book, The Space Within, and we will get inside the book. me, Rick Hogan, back with writer Pat Cannon and photographer Jim Caulfield. Their book is their latest book. Their fifth collaborative effort is called The Space Within, and it is a magnificent book. If you care anything about Chicago, you need to have this book. We've discussed what great buildings are. The Driehaus Museum is a great building. And Jim, your photos here are, I mean, I can't tell you, just spectacular. The Driehaus Museum, I would think, Pat, for you, is the ideal of what should happen to old Chicago mansions. They should be taken over by someone with very deep pockets. Who cares, Richard Driehaus?
Right. Yeah, he does. He absolutely does. And, you know, it not only saved the building, but provides a showcase for his collections and also for exhibits. I went to arts and craft jewelry exhibit there. He's got all kinds of great stuff there. But the bones of the building and the restoration are just incredible. It's not to everybody's taste. It's sort of the Belle Epoque, if you will. This is a guy who was the president of the First National Bank and wanted everybody to know he was the president of the First National Bank.
People like that in the day, I mean, I don't remember it firsthand, but the old Potter Palmer Mansion maybe the greatest example of that. I've got money and I want you people to know it. One building that people walk by all the time, I have been lucky enough to be inside it. Let's talk about the Brewster Apartments.
Well, it's a great place. From the outside, it looks like an old apartment hotel building.
Absolutely.
You know, they're very common in Chicago.
Oh, absolutely.
And inside, it's a magical place. It's got glass block bridges and floors and a skylight and great light fixtures. Everything about it is over the top. And the interesting thing about it is the guy who designed it, Enoch Hill Turnock, ended up being the number one architect in Elkhart, Indiana.
Wow.
He did very little in Chicago, and I think he decided, with all the competition, the Sullivans and everybody here, he would be better off going back to Elkhart. And so he was number one there. He worked for William LeBaron Jenney.
Yeah, sure.
Who was the guy everybody worked for at one time. Sullivan and others worked for him. So he was well-trained. And if you've ever been to Elkhart, you can look at his city hall. And they're all his.
Mr. Caulfield, had you ever seen that building before, and what did you
I had not. And I had a difficult time getting in to photograph that day.
You did, yeah. What did you think of it, though? It's like walking into a wonderland, especially given where it is, you know, on Pine Grove just off Diversey. You walk in. That must be one of the great joys for you. Another place in here that very few people have walked in, though they do have public events every once in a while, is in Lake Forest, and it's called Ragdale. How did you react when you first walked into that beautiful house?
I'd have to say I felt at home.
Did you really?
Yeah, very homey.
What is Ragdale?
Well, Ragdale is the summer home of Howard Van Doren Shaw, the famous Chicago architect.
Yeah.
The architect, really, for the wealthy North Shore folks, and also in Hyde Park. A lot of his buildings are in Hyde Park. And he designed Italian villas for these guys and French, you know, whatever. For himself, he designed a beautiful simple English arts and crafts house that is very personal to him. And this is what he would have designed for everybody had he had the chance. It's a great, great building.
What kind of camera do you use? Not to be too technical, but
many different cameras in that book.
Some were medium format cameras. Wide. Wow, because this.
And then I ultimately went to DSLRs just because they're faster to work with.
We were talking before about, you know, you can drive by these buildings and walk by these buildings, and you can't get into many of them. It's just they're closed. Some are private. One that is not private, a couple that are not private, that I think people walk in without appreciating their environment. One is the Cultural Center, the old main branch of the Chicago Public Library that first Mayor Daley's wife helped save. That's a remarkable place if you spend the time. Don't you think, James?
I think it's an amazing building. I've been going there since I was a kid. I would get L fare just to go down there to go to the Civil War Museum and the GAR Hall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're a,
which I miss.
You are a trained. I mean, you're a visual guy, so you will look around. Do you get that sense, Pat, that people go into some of these places and just see? That's one of the great things about this book. It will make you appreciate many places that you go to all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, when they go to the cultural center, they go for an exhibit on the first floor.
Yeah.
And they're not aware of what, if they just walked up a flight of stairs on either side, Washington or Randolph, what they'd find. Jim talked about the Civil War space. There's a beautiful dome, art glass dome, by a company called Millay and Healy, who were, you know, competition for Mr. Tiffany.
Tiffany, sure.
And they did one side of the building, and Tiffany did the other. And if you don't go upstairs on the Washington side, you'll never see that dome. And it's one of the great pieces of decorative arts in the world, really.
I agree.
And all the mosaics are done by Tiffany. It's just an incredible place.
Another place that people have been going to for a good long time, even though it changed names, is the Macy's building that I will always refer to as the Marshall Field building.
Of course.
That's – you've been in there, James, a million times. When you were going in as a normal human being without your camera, do you ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure. But you have to, when you go in any kind of space, look at it in a different way than someone going in to buy socks would look at the place. Yes?
Oh, I look up.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
And don't you recommend that? Wouldn't you recommend that for everybody going anywhere?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Inside
Talk to me about that building, Pat.
Yeah, well, there are two. Well, there are actually three things that we shot. One, which is kind of where everybody spent their Christmas, was the Walnut Room.
Yeah,
you know where the tree is, but the other spaces. One is the what I would call the Randolph Atrium, which goes all the way to the top of the building.
Right,
and if you don't look up,
you're not going to see the atrium.
There.
You're not even going to know.
The other, of course,
is
the Tiffany Dome on the other side of the building, which is not as high. Of course, I think it's only six stories or seven.
Yeah.
But it has 6 million pieces of glass in it. 6 million. I don't know who counted. You know.
But you're making a rough estimate.
I don't know if they went one, two, three. But anyway, if you don't look up, and I've seen people running through there, and
sure.
They have no idea what's above them. Not a clue.
Yeah. When doing these buildings, you obviously had that great long list. Part of it must have been, for you two gentlemen, the ability to get into these buildings. I'm assuming many places were, oh, wow, that's great. We're really proud of our building. Please,
right.
Please do come in and shoot. And others were probably, what do you want to do this for?
Pretty much. I just a quick anecdote. One of the office buildings, which is reasonably new, and I won't name them because we always hope that maybe the next time around we'll get in.
Sure.
So they sort of didn't understand the economics of art production, and they wanted to charge us $75,000 to shoot the lobby.
We're just like, yes, we have five books, but we've never made anywhere close to that from our five books.
And there was another nice building, a newer building, a gem as far as I'm concerned, and we're hopeful to get in there eventually. And they just said, well, somebody's already photographed the building. We're just not interested. And I tried to explain what we were doing, but some people just didn't get it, and
so we moved on. I think you'll have a much easier time being able to show this book.
I think that's our thought.
To potential entries in your next book.
I think that's going to be true.
Yeah. There is. I mean, the people at Ragdale probably took great pride in having Ragdale shot, or am I wrong?
They were very nice about it, actually.
Yeah.
In fact, got a tour of the whole property and, you know, places we didn't photograph. And
yeah.
you know, sort of a pitch on the writer in residence thing, and
the writers,
a chance to see the wall of books that have been produced there.
Yeah,
so.
It's quite a place.
Yeah, they're very nice people there.
I'm going to keep these guys through the news, Pat Cannon and the writer and photographer Jim Caulfield, because this book, The Space Within, is just a magnificent. It should be an addition to your bookshelf. I got to tell you, even if you don't know where the Marquette Building is, it will enrich your life if you're a Chicagoan. How's that? So please stay tuned. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. Welcome back. I have a few more minutes with these two wonderful gentlemen, one of the great collaborative teams I've come across, writer Pat Cannon and photographer Jim Caulfield. Their latest book is The Space Within. It is a book that anybody who cares anything about Chicago should have on their bookshelf and devour it. That you have a number of, out of the 45 places, you have a number of private homes. How difficult were those to get access to?
Some were relatively easy. Some were took a little time and effort. And
what's your pitch? I mean, I have a beautiful home. And hello.
Well, what I do is I say I have the world's best architectural photographer, and wouldn't you like to have your home photographed by this guy?
Is that really what you say?
Well, occasionally, yes. we've got these books that we've done,
and you show
sometimes
them.
Sometimes you bring one along and you show it to them, and so forth. Or it's a friend of a friend.
Gotcha.
A lot of these landmark homes are owned by people who are involved in architecture in
of
some
course.
Way.
That's part of the drill. I'd like to talk for a second about the Second Presbyterian Church, which is in the South Loop, which if you see, and that's another place. Churches you can base, most churches, maybe not the 17th Church of Christ right down here, you can walk in. That's what churches are for.
Right.
They're welcoming. I don't think enough people have walked in and seen this church. Had you seen it before you?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Okay. Now,
wandered in on the day I was to shoot it.
It must have been a little overwhelming.
It was.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It is amazing and magnificent and in some danger, too, don't you think?
Well, yeah, because they've had some problems with exterior stuff.
I know the woman was killed.
So they're, you know, I would say it's a threatened building.
Yeah.
Now, you talked about Ragdale. The interior was redone by Howard Van Doren Shaw after a fire.
Right.
So the interior is very much, again, although very elaborate, very much in the English arts and crafts tradition. You know, people like William Morris and others. And although parts of it are a bit on the shabby side, to say the least.
Sure.
Jim did a great job photographing it. And it has Tiffany windows, has magnificent statuary, all beautifully done, and all at no expense. You know, because the folks who were the congregants there were the Pullmans and the Marshall Fields and those people
and
before they moved north.
Right, right, right. Wow. The other thing about your photography, Mr. Caulfield, is that it seems as if it could. You know the great book, Lost Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at Lost Chicago and you get very wistful and sad.
Mm-hmm.
At the great joy of your book and your photography and your writing too, Pat, is that the realization that these buildings are among us. I think that is the great joy, and almost not all, but many, many, many of them, totally accessible.
Yeah.
Still among us.
Yeah. The Elks Memorial, which sits at Diversey and Lakeview.
Lakeview, right.
And Lakeview is an intimidating building from the outside. It looks like it says to people, don't come in here. Important things are going on in here or something. That's a remarkable space. Had you seen that, Jim? I'm fascinated with Jim's reaction to these things that you, Pat, have probably seen a dozen times.
No, as I mentioned earlier, most of these buildings I had never been in, and once I got in, I knew I only had a couple of hours to accomplish what I needed to accomplish.
Yeah.
As it happened, it's interesting. The folks at Elks were pretty accommodating.
Were
the
they?
The facilities guy was pretty accommodating.
They should be justifiably proud of that building.
It's closed in the winter, but it's, I would think, reopening fairly soon. And, you know, you just find out when it's open and walk in, and there's a nice person there who's going to give you a tour.
Yeah, yeah.
It's free. Free is good. It's
free
always
is
good.
Really good. Free is really good for to artists. I mean, but the detail work, Jim, when you go into a place and you do big, magnificent shots, but you also do a lot of really interesting detail work. Is it something that catches your eye?
Truly.
But you also want something indicative of the smaller kind of artistry that goes on in some of these spaces, yes?
Yeah. You try to tell the story of the building.
Well put.
If you were walking through, you would stop and linger and look at some of the details.
Well put. I know this is an idiotic question. Do you have a favorite building, Pat?
No, it's interesting. People say, well, what's the greatest building or what the greatest artist? When you say, well, you know, gee, Frank Lloyd Wright. Well, but maybe, you know, there is no favorite building as far as, and there's no favorite painting or artist.
Yeah.
There are a lot of favorite architects. And, of course, Wright comes to mind, but Sullivan in his time, as great as Wright. You have to give some props to Mr. Mies van der Rohe, even though, you know, perhaps he's not as dramatic as some.
Yes.
But he had integrity.
That's true.
And so, you know, when you start talking greatest, of the buildings in there, I could name 10 that I'd happily go into any day of the week.
No kidding. And you people out there, when you buy this book, which is obviously available on Amazon.
It's everywhere.
It also would be a spectacular gift for someone you may know who has moved away from Chicago. I think that would be a really good purpose for it, because you know what it'll do? It'll draw whoever those people are. It'll draw them back for a little while to go into these buildings. Five books under your belts, Mr. Cannon and Mr. Caulfield. Is there a number six?
Well, we're always hopeful. Art books are a commodity that's not easily sold, but this one's selling well, and we feel like there's room for volume two, more space within, if you will. And we're starting to think about a list, and
you better get the Tribune Tower before. I don't think they can do much. I don't think they can.
You know, I think probably what they want to do
the
is
lobby.
They want to cover over all those
quotes,
chiseled in quotes. I don't know. Who are these guys? Thomas Jefferson?
Yeah, Voltaire.
Hamilton, yeah, I don't know.
We're selling to yuppie millennial
billionaires. Who is McCormick? That's what I want to know.
Right. Gentlemen, it's a magnificent piece of work. I'm so glad you got in touch, and I'm so glad you came in here to talk about it. And there may be a newspaper story in your future, because I just think this book needs to get really kind of wide distribution. It needs to be seen and read by it's very informative too, Pat. And it's not, you know, it's a perfect, you guys are a good team, because it's a perfect balance of words and visuals. It really, really is. And so congratulations.
Over the years, I've gotten 3 or 4 books on architecture, theory and practice, and with 2 or 3 pictures in them. And I always said, how can you write about architecture?
I couldn't agree with you more. I could not agree with you more. Yeah. James, you need your photos to illustrate what Pat is writing about. And you need your photos to give, not that your writing is not exciting, but there is the visual jolt in this book.
Actually like his writing.
Huh?
I like his writing.
I know you do. So do I. So do I. But with no pictures, come on now. Gentlemen, congratulations.
Try to explain a building without seeing
it. It's tough, man. It's virtually impossible.
Try to explain the Mona Lisa without looking at it.
Right.
Well, there's this picture of it.
And she's kind of smiling. She's not that attractive. Right. And she's not. Yeah. The book, again, ladies and gentlemen, is called The Space Within. It is written by Patrick Cannon with photographs by James Caulfield. Available anywhere. I will see you two guys again. Thanks for coming in, and thanks for doing this book. It really enriches my life as a Chicago.
Thank you, Rick. It was fun, Rick. Thanks
my
a
pleasure.
Lot.
We'll be right back after a couple commercials.